sambaraga, se ki tărdește. Haleluia. 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 Hallelujah. We look around, see who's not here. God looks around, sees who is here. Hallelujah. That's what's working in my heart. You look around, you see who's not here. But I look around, and I see who is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Last time we were together, last Sunday morning, I talked to you about the subject of miracles and obedience. Amen. Miracles and obedience. Amen. I told you that rebellion has never yet birthed a revival, and it never will. Disobedience has never spawned revival, and it never will. Amen? Those things come forth from obedience, not rebellion. Amen? I also told you, part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Hallelujah. Bet your Bible could preach that one. Hallelujah. Amen? Let's say that together. Say, part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Amen. Hallelujah. Told you, if you're in rebellion, if you're just obeying God when it's convenient and you're not obeying Him when it's not, you're busting the stitches on your britches. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to come to shame in humiliation one day. Amen. We don't want that for you. Amen. Every powerful person who's ever been used of God first learned who to obey, when to obey, and how to obey. You know that the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8 that even Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Jesus came into this earth. He had to learn how to be obedient, just like you and I have to learn how to be obedient. Anyone ever used of God in any way at any time in this earth first had to learn who to obey, when to obey, and how to obey. There's no room in God's economy, if you're looking for power, and that'd be all of us because we're all power seekers, created in the image and likeness of God. There's no room for rebellion. There's no room for disobedience. If you want to see the power of God in manifestation in every realm of your existence. Amen? We're all power seekers. You're here today because you're seeking the power of God. We pray because we're seeking power. We want to have power with God. We want to experience power with God. It's only natural, having been created in the image and likeness of God, to be power seekers. He's our creator. We're created in His image and likeness. He's a powerful God. It's just natural that we should seek His power. It's not wrong to seek God's power. Some people think it is. Who am I to seek God's power? Well, you're a new creation in Christ if you're born again. You're the righteousness of God. You're seated at the Father's right hand. You have the right to use Jesus' name and to expect powerful results. God made you that way. Amen? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. It doesn't say the righteous are wet little kittens. Amen? So I'm going to speak to you today by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I came last week and we talked about obedience. Amen. I had a message prepared. I got the same one with me today. I didn't get to it last week. Amen. But we'll just see. More and more I'm ministering to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I just spend lots of time meditating on God's Word, looking at Scriptures, looking, you know, messages that are pre-prepared, a lot of time praying in the Spirit. And then I come up here and just tell the Holy Spirit, whatever you want. I stick with the notes. I'll go out beyond the notes, whatever you want. More and more all the time. I've been ministering to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just listening on the inside and speak what comes out of my spirit. For example, last week, right in the middle of the message, the Holy Spirit just put it on my heart. Stop the direction you're going and tell them what my word says about drinking alcohol. So we did that. And I showed you. From John chapter 2, the wedding feast at Cana, Jesus turned water into wine. And I told you that that wasn't alcoholic wine. And I showed you from Isaiah 65:8 and Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, that Jesus would not have created fermented wine and that he didn't drink fermented wine. There's two kinds of wine in the Bible. I showed you that in the Bible. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I didn't plan that. I did not plan that. But there were people in the room who were having trouble with alcohol. Some came and repented and said, Pastor, I didn't know that. That's all right. God knows you didn't know it. Amen? And they repented. Said, I'm not doing that anymore. I never knew that was in the Bible like that. I said, praise the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit moved in the way that he did. That's supernatural. I didn't know that. Amen? I didn't know we had any tippers in here. I didn't. Well, let me just correct myself. There was something said to me at one time. But I had forgotten about that, and I wasn't even going after that. The Holy Spirit moved on me. There were people in this room who were using alcohol, and I did not know it. And God ministered to them. I got a couple of the nasty emails after that, too. Some folks didn't want to hear that. They didn't care that it was in the Bible. They said, if you keep... They call ministering supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me, stop what you're doing and tell them what my word says about consuming alcohol. So I did. That was supernatural. An individual called that intimidation. He said, you teach with intimidation. I'm not intimidating anybody. But when you're in sin and the revelation gifts go in operation and a church service over it, even though God didn't call your name, but you got busted, that's intimidating. It's supposed to be. And they told me to back off. They called it a stumbling block to growth. No, your drinking alcohol is a stumbling block to your spiritual growth. Amen? Too many rules, I've been told. Too many rules. I don't think any rules I have around here. I ministered by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Addressing people about things that they're doing that block the spot where the power comes out in their lives to help them. They told me it's a rule. Lighten up. I say this is not the time to lighten up. This is the time to tighten up if we want to see miracles happen on Cape Cod. Amen? That's the reason miracles haven't been happening on Cape Cod. The believers aren't using their faith. They're grieving God. Not here. God's been having me talk a lot about the dirty church around here lately, amen? We're not going to be part of the dirty church. That's the dirty church. The church that comes around speaking faith and anointing and power and glory. Every time I come in here, someone said to me, the glory of God's in this place. The power of God's in this place. But then they get busted for drinking alcohol in secret. And all of a sudden that doesn't matter anymore. Well, God's trying to help you. God's trying to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I am not an intimidator. Nobody has to stay here. You know, I got a complaint at the same time I was being accused of being intimidating for asking women who come out to the evening service alone to call when they get home. I was told that's intimidation. What in the world? I said, you don't have to call. If you don't want to call, just say, Pastor, I prefer not to do that. You're a moral free agent. I'll honor your free will, just like God will. You don't want to call when you come out on Wednesday night. You don't have to. Amen? Called it a stumbling block to growth. What in the world? Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking about obedience. Last week we talked about King Saul, and we saw, man, what a rebel he was. He just could not do as he was instructed by the prophet of God. Everything had to be his way. He was so disobedient, it cost him his kingdom. It cost him his anointing. It cost him the lives of all of his boys. They all died because of his disobedience and rebellion. And then he finally died tragically and prematurely in battle. What a goofy, goofed up goofball he was. He couldn't obey. Amen? So we talked about that a little bit. Well, he lost his life. Go to 1 Chronicles, if you would, in your Bible. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead me today. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. He lost his life. You know, at the end of King Saul's life, as you're turning there, oh, what a rebel he was. Oh, what a rebel he was. Oh, what a rebel he was. An anointed man of God that he just couldn't get the obedience thing under wraps. Amen. You go into 1 Chronicles chapter 12. He finally said to King David, the best friend he could have ever had in this earth was King David. Amen. Hallelujah. David just kept honoring him in his rebellion and disobedience just like God did. Amen. He finally said at the end of his life, he said, I have played the fool. I have erred tragically. Amen. I don't want you to end up that way. I don't want to end up that way. Amen. I don't want to block the spot where the power comes out. Amen. And if you're all about compromise behind the scenes, but coming around here and playing up your spirituality while you're here, you're in the wrong place. Amen. Amen. And I mean, unless you want to change. If you want to change, that's good. That's what we're all about. Amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't sent here to go with the flow. Amen. We should call this the swimming upstream church, maybe not the gathering. Amen. Because we're swimming upstream against the flow while all the other fishes are just floating downstream and going with the flow. And there's going to be persecution that comes against us for that. All the other little fishies who don't want to discipline themselves and turn around and use their little tails and paddle upstream with us, as they go by, their little tails are going to just slap us in the face as they go. It's not going to always be comfortable. Amen. But we're going upstream. We're going to follow God. We're not going with the flow. We're not going to float downstream. Amen? We're going to discipline ourselves around here. And I don't have rules. One of those emails told me, too many rules! And I thought, yeah, about 1,050 right here. Amen? And how about 33,000 promises for obeying the rules? They're not my rules. That individual told me, relax the word of God. That's what they were saying to me. This is a word church. You don't want the word, then go to a carnal church somewhere. Go to a carnal hideout somewhere where they don't care what happens to you. I want to see things happen for you and not to you. Amen? So that's why I do my job. Amen? You know, you're over there in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm ministering to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God to bring up out of my spirit what it is you need to hear this morning. What I need to hear. Amen? You be believing God with me for a full supply of the Spirit this morning. Something that'll bring you up higher. Something from heaven that'll change you and rearrange you. Because you need to be changed and you need to be rearranged just like me. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, you're there in 1 Chronicles 12, and you can stay right there. Paul said, I believe it's in Romans 11:13. He said, I magnify my office. I magnify my office. You know, Paul stood in all five offices. He was an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, and teacher, just like Jesus. He stood in all five offices. I stand in three offices. And Paul said, I magnify my office. You put that in your notes in Romans 11, chapter 13. Amen? And when he said, I magnify my office, that Greek word means, I hold my office in the highest esteem, and I require that others do the same. I hold my office, Pastor John, in the highest esteem, and I require that others do the same for their benefit. I don't want to be called John. I'm Pastor John. Quite frankly, you should call Barbara, not Bob, not Barbara, but Sister Barbara. Amen? That's my preference. Now, whether you do that or not, I'm the ministry office here. And I prefer to be called Pastor John. I don't want people shooting out nasty emails calling me John. I am Pastor John. That's why you're on my tail. If you're shooting out nasty emails, amen? Because I'm the pastor, and I'm doing my job, and I'm doing it well, and I'm holding my office in the highest esteem, and I expect everybody to do that. To hold all the offices in the highest esteem. Amen? What contempt? You have to admit yourself. You look around, you see the contempt and the disrespect for the offices of God in this earth today. The contempt that people show to God's pastors. The disrespect they speak to them with. Amen? I had to tell an individual this week, you're not the pastor. Do not talk to me that way. Do not tell me how to do my job. You're not trained to do the job that I'm trained to do. You're trained to do your job. I'm not trained to do your job, so I don't tell you how to do it. I have no authority in your workplace because I have no responsibility there. I'm not trained. And you are not trained to do my job. I'm speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Nobody in here is in trouble. I look at every face in this room. You're all doing good. Amen? But I'm the one in authority here. So I'm the one who has responsibility here. If you don't have any authority here, you have no responsibility here. Amen? Somebody once said, the congregation's job is to shut up, hook up, and grow up. We're going to look at that in the Word. I didn't say it. I would say, hush up. Hook up with the local church and sit there and learn how to grow up. Amen? So you can go out into the world and function with power. Power! That's what I want for you. Power. I don't want you to submit to me. I want you to submit to the Word of God. But we all need to understand something I needed to, a place I needed to grow into in my life. No submission, no authority. That's what happened to King Saul. He lost all of his authority because he would not submit to the Word of God, the prophet of God, the anointing of God, and the will of God. His attitude was, bless God, no one's going to tell me what to do, not even God. Oh, that's not good. Oh, that's so dangerous. That's such a dangerous place. He lost his life. You're there in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. This is good already, whether you know it or not. And it's going to, and I think you do know, it's going to a good place here today. Amen? Nobody's in trouble. Amen? But we're not going to be part of the dirty church. I'm not going to leave you on your beach blanket with your little umbrella laying beside the septic tank thinking you're really at the beach. Amen? That's not going to happen here. I think you know it's not going to happen here. Amen? And I don't have rules, and really I don't have rules and I don't have regulations. We just go with the Word. Amen? And if the Holy Spirit wants to move, go into operation, whether it's through the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts, or the power gifts, we're not going to allow that to be called intimidation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of me intimidating you. Amen? If the Holy Ghost smokes you out and you're convicted by it, we ought to be intimidated. You ought to be ashamed. Because shame is intended to change you. Shame is not only intended to change us, but shame is intended to keep us from making the same mistakes over and over and over. Amen? Say, I'm a power seeker. Say, I'm a power seeker. Now, right here, we see Saul's dead. Here's where we're going to pick it up. Amen? Saul's dead. He disobeyed. You're there in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. You can put in your notes 1 Chronicles 10, 13, and 14. That's where the Bible reveals that the Lord allowed Saul to be killed because of his disobedience and his childishness. Amen? And God turned the kingdom of Israel over to David, the son of Jesse. Suddenly, right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you pick it up here with me in chapter 12. All the mighty men of Israel who were formerly supporting King Saul began to pour out of the woodwork and join themselves to King David at his hideout in Hebron. He's hiding out from Saul in Hebron. Saul threatened to kill him. Well, Saul's the one now who gets killed. Here's David hiding out in Hebron. All of Saul's men go running to support David here in verse 22. For at that time, day by day, keep in mind, Saul's dead now. He gave up everything for one thing. That's what rebellion is, you know. It's given up everything for one thing. Whatever that one thing might be. Amen. At that time, day by day, there came to David to help him. Until it was a great host, like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war, who came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul over to David according to the word of the Lord. Just like Samuel told them, now the Lord's going to take your kingdom from you, Saul, and give it to a better man. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed for the war. Oh, I bet David was happy to see him coming. These are the guys who were after him. Now they're for him. Amen. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. But they were mighty men of valor. Amen? We got about 22 captains around here. Amen? I say this all the time. A church doesn't have to be big to be powerful. Amen? It's not in numbers. It's in obedience. Amen? We'll get big. We're getting big. We're in the growth process. Amen? The devil thinks he can hinder it. Hallelujah. He can't do it. And the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For here too the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. These were all faithful to Saul. Actually, they were being faithful to his office as a king, even though he was a deadbeat. Amen? They knew God put him in that office, and they were obeying God, supporting him. And the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers, and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name, to come and make David king. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, and while I'm here, I'll warn you as your pastor, watch out for the sons of Issachar movement in the earth today. Watch out! Watch out! Watch out for the sons of Issachar movement in the earth today. It's on the Cape. You'll hear of it. Watch it. It's based on deception. It's coming out of the deception that the prophetic movement has been involved in. We can't go into it, but I can warn you as your pastor, watch out for the movement called the sons of Issachar. They believe they're the only ones who have understanding of the times in which we live. That means they believe they're the only ones being used of God. And if you're not hooked up with them, you're not hooked up with God. Amen? God moves in many ways, comes to us in many directions in the earth. Amen? Not through any one individual or any group of people. Amen? Watch out for the sons of Issachar movement. Hallelujah. It's my job. Children of Issachar were men, they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them, 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could, here's what I wanted you to see, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. There's approximately 500,000 men that came out of the woodwork running to make David king. Determined to make David king. They were not of double heart. They weren't half Saul and half David. They're all David. They were not of double heart. Amen? And they could keep rank. That word rank, I want to tell you what that word rank means right there in verse 33. It means to arrange, to muster, to dig in physically. You want to put that in your notes. If you're taking notes right there out of verse 33, they could keep rank. They could arrange themselves orderly. They could muster. They could dig in physically. That means they knew how to stay in place physically. Okay, you see that? They knew how to control their bodies and not let their bodies tell them what they were going to do. When their leaders fell in battle, when their leaders came under attack, they didn't go running down the road in fear. They held steady physically and stayed with the leader. Okay? They did not break rank. They would not break rank. They would not have double hopped. They could stay in place physically. Jump down to verse 38. As I minister to you today by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all of these men of war all 500,000 plus that could keep rank came with the perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all of Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one heart, if you'd say that, please. One heart to make David king. Now you see the word rank is used there again in verse 38. This is from a different word, a different Hebrew word, a different root word. It means they were experts at mustering their mental dispositions. Experts at mustering their mental dispositions. So we see they would not break rank in two areas. Physically, they wouldn't pack it up and leave because they took offense and the devil told them it's time to go. And mentally, they were able to maintain themselves mentally and stay in place even when their minds were giving them a fit and telling them to run. They're special people. These are the same people, by the way, these 500,000. How are we doing in here today? Let's stand up for a moment. Can we stand up just for a moment here today? Hallelujah. 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 Stand up if you'd like to. If you can. If you can't, it's okay. Amen. It's not a rule. I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm trying to help you. Amen. Okay, we sit back down. Amen. Hallelujah. How's that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get that blood going, amen. A little warm in here, is it, this morning? Or is it comfortable, amen? It's usually a little chilly in here, amen. Hallelujah. Well, some people are warm, some people are cold, amen. We'll find that neutrality zone, amen. Need to get some blood moving here. Get some blood moving. Get some blood moving. I believe the Holy Ghost to quicken your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that He used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. The Holy Spirit of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So you see that these were people who would not break rank and run physically or emotionally. They had the guts to stay in place when all hell broke loose. They had the guts to stay in place when all the others were running and being dominated by their minds in their nervous system, their physical bodies. They just stayed steady. They were not of double heart. They were determined they're going to make David king the same way they had made Saul king, and nothing was going to change that. It's the kind of people I'm looking for as a pastor. Amen? People who break rank and run, well, they just don't need to be here. Amen? If they're double-hearted, and they can't just allow the pastor to be the pastor, and not just take it upon themselves to suddenly become my co-pastor, and when I don't tell them, that's okay with me, as long as you stick around and pay your tithes, so I don't tell people that. Amen? If that's what you think you're going to do, and I tell you you're not going to do that, you're not qualified to do that, you're not called to do that, I don't need an associate pastor until we get up around 200 people. Amen? If they run because I just had to tell them the truth about themselves, well, they're double-hearted and maybe they don't need to be here. Amen? Amen? They don't have it in their heart to make Jesus Lord and John the pastor, well, praise the Lord, we can't afford the luxury of having them in our presence any longer. Amen? And we'll soon be needing their chairs anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, amen? Hallelujah. By the way, these are the same soldiers, these 500 soldiers, who refused to break rank and run, who were not double-hearted. They were determined to keep Jehovah God, David King. God used these 500,000 people to raise an offering to build the temple that David turned around and gave to Solomon. A $3.1 billion offering came from these people who refused to break rank and run for the building of the temple. Does that talk to you at all? God will use you to build this church with me. Spiritually, physically, financially, if you'll refuse to break rank and run, keep Jesus as Lord, keep John as the pastor, amen, we will build a church for God on Cape Cod. These $3.1 billion they personally gave to David, who David turned around and gave it to Solomon for the building of the temple, because of their what? Their obedience to keep Jehovah God and David king. I'm just admonishing you today by the Spirit of God within me. Let's follow their example. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 10 and 11, that all of these things are written for our admonition, for our instruction, and for our benefit. Amen? I magnify my office. I'm not ashamed to say, I'm the leader around here, nobody else. What man in his right mind would let some other man come into his family and take over and start saying, I'm the daddy? So you aren't the daddy. I'm the daddy. These are my children. They're my responsibility, not your responsibility. Amen? How am I doing? Hallelujah. People using the word intimidation, accusing me of being intimidating in an attempt to intimidate me. I don't buy it. I know what it is. Paul said, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. I know what the devil's doing, trying to do here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not griping. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. We're going through some things, whether you know it or not. Amen. Hallelujah. These guys, hallelujah, they were ready to just stay in place, not break rank and run. When the pastor ministers by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, revealing that people are in sin, these guys wouldn't run. They wouldn't run. They just stayed right there, took the correction, and let God use them. Stay in place. Take any correction. I didn't call any names last week. Amen? But I got called some names. I'll tell you what. Amen? I had no idea in the world that I was talking to so many people last week when the Lord said to me, change directions and tell them what my word says about consuming alcohol. Amen? It brought change. You know, it's amazing how the same word can be given to two people. That same word of the Lord can be given to two different human beings. That word will put one human being right up and over and bring them right up into the glory realm. And the same word given to another individual will put them right down and under, putting them right back in the hands of the devil because they don't want to obey it. Say, not me. Say, not me. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where are we going from here, Holy Spirit? Matthew chapter 18. Let's go to Matthew 8. I'm sorry, Matthew 8. I misspoke. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Too many Christian people want to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. Amen. They want to serve them, but only in an advisory capacity. I didn't elect myself as pastor, and you didn't vote me in. And I know you don't need to hear this. Amen? But we're recording this message, and it'll help you anyway. You didn't vote me in. You can't vote me out. Amen? I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. That's what I tell Barbara all the time. I don't care if you don't want me, baby doll. I'm yours. No voting. This is a theocracy. It is not a democracy. Democracy is good in the political realm, but it doesn't work in church. Amen? This is a theocracy. Theo, God. Theocracy, God ruled. Amen? God calls the shots around here, and He does it through me. See, I don't lay on my face before you. And there's not a person in this room who I'm talking to. I'm just teaching by the Holy Ghost here today. There's not a person in this room who's violating anything that I'm saying up here that I know of. But I'm just going to say it anyway. Amen? It's good to have this on the table over there. So when the rebels come in, we'll give them the rebel CD. When the obedient folks come in, we give them the blessing CD. Amen? I don't lay on my face before you and say, what's the plan, people? I'll tell them. I lay on my face before God, literally, and I do that. I lay on my face before God, and I say, what's the plan, God? I'll tell them. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have the right, no one has the right to come in here and say, no more gifts of the Spirit. Tell God I said no more gifts of the Spirit. It makes me feel bad. What am I supposed to do? Ramrod that command up to God and say so-and-so said no more gifts of the Spirit? Because he'll ramrod his mandate for the gifts of the Spirit right back down here and do it anyway. Smile. Smile. It's a rule. Smile. If you're listening to us by recording, I'm teasing. You can't see my face. I'm smiling. Amen. I am not a hard taskmaster. Amen. I'm a shepherd looking over sheep. Natural analogies just work so good. Jesus used them all the time. Shepherds and sheep, shepherds and sheep, shepherds and sheep. People, I see you folks getting over into a danger zone. My job is to get those sheep rallied and get them back into the safety zone. Amen? You're not in the danger zone that I know of. I'm just encouraging you to stay in the safety zone. Amen? Someone's calling around. I told you this Wednesday night, and I'm impressed to tell you again this morning. Someone's calling around, shooting out emails about me because they came under conviction by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So don't listen to it. Make up your own mind. Amen? Paul said in Romans chapter 9:1, he said, "My conscience beareth witness with the Holy Ghost." Amen? I tell people all the time, your head is no place for my happiness. If someone calls you or sends you an email against me because they came under conviction and they don't want to change and now they're lying about me, you just listen on the inside. That's all you have. Just listen. You get the Holy Ghost on the inside. 1 John 2:12, I'm talking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here today. 1 John 2:20. In 27, 1 John 2:20 and 27. You put that in your notes, amen? And when the phone rings, and one of these couple of people who have become my enemy because I told the truth by the Spirit of God, if they call you or send you an email, you go to 1 John 2:20 and 27. It says, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and you don't need anybody to teach you anything. Amen? Amen? You just listen on the inside. The inner witness of the Holy Ghost will tell you if you should be listening to these people or not. The primary reason it's happening is, number one, God was trying to help somebody. There's people in this room who were helped by it and repented and changed, and you know who you are. The word was right on about alcohol. But then there's people who didn't receive it. They don't want to go up and over with it. They went down and under. Amen? The reason that the Lord gave that word was to help them. Help them, number one, as individuals. Number two, to get us all in line with the word from Brother Jim Dykes that said we're about to experience explosive growth. But the Lord knew there was some clog in the spout that needed to come out. So we called it. He either wanted it repented of, or the people who don't want to repent to go, amen, and not hinder what he's about to do. It's the devil. It was the devil trying to hinder it. You see what I'm saying? And are you okay with this, anybody? Some are looking at me like, oh, why do you always have to do this? I'm going to just tell you again. You know what the person said to me also? Why don't you stick with the word? So what do you think God's preaching? What do you think I was preaching? What do you think I was preaching? What do you think I was preaching? I was preaching the word. I gave you scripture for everything by the Spirit of God. I stood up here today. The Lord said to me, you look at the chairs that are empty. The people who aren't here. I look at the people who are here. He's talking to the people who are here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm doing pretty good up here, you know. I really am. Hallelujah. Too many Christians want to serve God in an advisory capacity. If you don't submit to authority and you rebel against authority, you have no authority. That's what the devil's trying to get people to do. Strip them of authority. Would you say something with me, please? It's not a rule. It's a request. You don't have to. Amen? And I'm not making you say it. Okay, so let's get that straight. This is a request. It's not a rule. I don't have rules. You got the word. That's all. Amen? Would you please say with me, submission is authority. Say, in God's economy, down is up. In God's economy, down is up. See, when we bow before Him, bow before His Word. I'm not asking you to bow before me. Please don't take that out of context. I'm not. Amen? But when we bow before Him and obey His Word, it results in authority. Submission is authority in the kingdom of God. That's why I always say, in the kingdom of God, down is up. We get on our knees before Him and tell Him, I will obey Your Word, whether it makes sense to me or not, in the natural, whether I like it or not. That's when God begins to slide the power volume up. Amen? And we're going to look at that in Matthew chapter 8. Submission is authority. If we refuse to submit to authority, we have no authority. When we try to manipulate God's authority, we strip ourselves of authority. This is not a lecture. This is inspirational ministry by the agency of the Holy Ghost. You there, Matthew chapter 8? If you don't submit to authority, you have no authority. You can be saved in 80 if you don't submit to God's authority. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, in this case, in particular, pastor, you have no authority. Amen? The body of Christ needs to understand, I know we're in Matthew chapter 8, I'm talking out of my spirit, needs to understand, unless we submit to authority, we have no authority. Amen? The devil won't listen to us. The angels won't listen to us. When we speak the truth of God's word, it will not come to pass if we are not in submission to His authority. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Do you know some of you have been, you stay right there and don't read any further, amen? Oh, this person also said, that rule about not reading any further, that's intimidating too. Okay, go ahead, read. I'll preach to Barbara. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll just go on with this, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a rule. If you want to keep reading, you can. I can't tell you not to read your Bible. I just ask you to please listen to what the Lord's saying. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, here's what you need to see. I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now look right here. Some of you have seen this before with me. We're going to see it again. I read it frequently. It applies to me too. Amen? My flesh rises up and says, you know, why don't you just go somewhere where you can raise a crowd overnight? Now I have to admit, I have to submit to what God tells me to do. I'm to be here on Cape Cod, whether I like it half the time and don't like it half the time or not. Amen? I must submit to authority. I am a man, please say under. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he what? He marveled and said to them that followed, that'd be the boys, the big 12, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'm going to tell you again, even though I told you before, what is happening here with this centurion. He said, my servant's at home sick. Will you come pray? Will you pray for him? And Jesus said, I'll come out to your house and I'll pray for him. And the centurion said, Lord, you don't have to come all the way out to my house, and I'll explain to you why. He didn't say, I'm a man with authority, did he? He said, I am a man what? I am a man under authority, and I understand how authority works. See, I'm under Caesar's authority, is what he was saying. I have soldiers who are under my authority. I tell them what to do. And they do it. Because they know if they don't, retribution won't come from me. It will come from him whose authority I'm under, Caesar. See, I know how authority works, Jesus. I'm under authority. I know how it works. And he said, I figure in the spirit realm, authority must work the same way. I see you submit to God. See, Jesus, you're a man under authority. You submit to God. So you can just tell those demons to get off my sick servant, and they have to obey you, or retribution won't come from you. It'll come from God. And Jesus said, "Woo! I have never, not even amongst the Jews, my own people, have I encountered anybody who understood how authority works. Authority works only through submission. When we refuse to submit to God's chosen leadership, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, basically, we strip ourselves of authority." Andrew Murray said, "The lowest bowing branches are always the ones that bear the most fruit." Picture that in your mind, in an apple orchard. The lowest bowing branches are always the one that bear the most fruit. They're the closest to the ground, they're the heaviest with fruit. Amen? If we want to bear fruit in the kingdom of God, if we want God to turn the power volume up in our lives and meet our needs as proficiently as He desires to meet our needs, we're going to have to submit to His Word and bow before Him in it. Amen? This is a good message. We're talking about miracles and obedience here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Where can we go from here, Father, in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Just some scriptures to talk to you. We'll close. Amen. Hallelujah. God limits Himself to giving power to those who hush up, hook up, and grow up. God limits Himself to giving power to those who hush up. He didn't send you to tell me what to do unless I'm in sin. And I'm not. Amen? Hallelujah. To hush up, He gives power to those who hush up, hook up with the local church, and grow up according to His written word. You see it? Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Okay, let's go right here. And I will read, hallelujah, in verse 11. "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I would like to point out here that these two verses do not say, "And He gave the saints for the perfecting of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and for the edifying of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." He said He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the edifying of the saints, the work of the to teach them to do the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, and not the other way around. God didn't call me because I'm special. God didn't, the only thing I had when God called me, if anything was special at all, was my special ignorance of why I was even here in this earth. Amen? Amen? But God has called me and God has anointed me to be the pastor. He has equipped me to be the pastor. And I've been cooperating with Him for 28 years to be a pastor and a teacher and an evangelist. Amen? And I said three offices. I actually stand in four. But we won't even go there today. Amen? And Paul said, "I magnify my office." Meaning, I hold my office in the highest esteem. When someone challenges my office, I'll take a stand. Amen? I'm not a whipped little puppy. I'm not a wet little kitten. If I don't take a stand and require that people esteem my office highly, God will find someone who will. Amen? I had a woman come to me one time. God bless her, man. She said to me, "Pastor, I'm rebellious. I rebel against all authority. I don't care if it's the police, if it's my employer, my husband. I don't care who it is. I have a problem with rebellion. Can you help me?" I said, "I know I can." Amen? You've taken step number one. You won't quit what you don't admit. She admitted, "I got a problem with rebellion. I've got a problem with rebellion." I said, I can help you. I'm going to talk to you in a minute here before we go about how you can be helped if you're in rebellion. But I want you to know why I'm impressed with the Holy Spirit of God to come and bring this message to you today. There are those in our midst who have turned on me again over the word. And they're making phone calls and they're sending out emails, and I don't want you to fall victim to the wolf. You're going to have to make up your own mind. But I'm telling you my side of the story. Some of you may have already heard the other side of the story. Those who haven't and might, before you can hear it, I'll tell you my side of the story. Last week, I stepped out in the revelation gifts and helped people who were drinking alcohol. Some wanted to change, repented, came to me and said so. Others didn't and went to others and said so. Amen? They just need to be told, what are you doing on the phone? You should be on your face. And you can tell them that. Amen? What are you doing on the computer? You should be on your face. Asking the Lord if there's any truth to what the pastor said to you at all. And if there is any truth to it at all, you ought to be repentant. Amen? So don't let the wolf take you out. Amen? Amen? We're under attack from within again. Hallelujah. And as I warn you, I can also give you some good teaching to keep you out of rebellion, to see the dangers of rebellion. Amen? Rebellion blocks the spout where the power comes out. Listen, you can't look at the number of chairs. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I believe the word given to us. In 1 year's time, explosive growth. Next month, October, it'll be a year, and that word will be fulfilled. But we're going to have to cooperate with it and keep the strife out of our midst. That's what I've told this individual who's rallying other people, stirring them up against me. I told him, this is strife. This is strife. And I told that individual, until you are ready to repent for stirring up strife between me and other members of my congregation and me and you, you're not welcome to come back here. It's strife. James chapter 3, verse 16. Take a quick look at it in your Bible. We looked at it last week. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. God limits himself to giving power to those who hush up, hook up, and grow up, and who are single-hearted to make Jesus Lord and the pastor the leader. Who's in James chapter 3? Somebody with a powerful voice, please read to me. Verse 16, Helen, from your diaphragm.
For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Strife opens the door for evil spirits. Strife opens the door for destruction. Strife opens the door to block the spout where the fulfillment of prophetic utterance comes out. So we're not going to allow it in our midst, are we? Amen? Anybody contacts you, you just very politely say, please call the pastor. I'm not going to listen to this. Amen? I'll give you a nice, cordial, little, quaint little saying that you can give to them. Something nice, something very refined that you can tell them if they call. And you just tell them, my ear is not your slop bucket. It would be funny if it didn't have to be said. Amen? Let's say it together. My ear is not your slop bucket. Hallelujah. That's why Betty's been ministering on gossip here lately. The Lord's been getting us ready. He saw it coming before we ever did. We're not going to get involved in gossip, are we? We're not going to get involved in slandering the pastor, are we? Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to get involved in strife, are we? It'll not only hinder the growth of this congregation, it'll hinder you as individuals. Amen? And that's why God's talking to just let's hold steady. Like David's mighty men, let's not break rank. Let's muster ourselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Let's not be of double heart. Let's be single-minded to make Jesus Lord at the gathering and John Hamill the pastor. Amen. How's that? Amen. And that's when we'll see people get healed. Not only when they go through my shadow, but go through your shadow. Right. Amen? You don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher to see the power gifts, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings work in your life. God can use you too. But we just have to make up our minds we're not going to be part of the dirty church. Amen? Submission and authority in God's kingdom, the only way up is down by submitting to God's leadership. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. We need to lay down our prideful lives and pick up our authoritative lives. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just equipping you. Amen? To maintain your stand and keep yourself in position for the mission. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are you? Hallelujah. You know why Moses had power? He was submissive to the Almighty. You know why Joshua had power? He was submissive to Moses. You know why Paul had power? He was submissive to God. You know why Jesus had power? He was submissive to His Father's Word. Even Jesus learned obedience, the Bible says, by the things that He suffered through persecution, having to resist the temptation to sin, to get involved in strife and controversy. Even Jesus. And He's our example in all things. Amen. Moses was powerful because he was submissive. Joshua was powerful because he was submissive. Paul was powerful. Peter, Jesus, James, and John. They're all powerful because they were submissive to God's Word. And they never took the attitude, bless God, no one's going to tell me what to do. I say, Father, You tell me what to do and I will implement it immediately. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule. That means official authority. See, I have official authority here. Obey them that have official authority over you, or submit to them. As long as I'm just leading you to submit to the Word, you must submit to me. If I lead you off the Word, you're not bound to submit to me. My wife doesn't have to submit to me. You know, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands as in the Lord. If they're not submitting to the Lord, you're not obligated. You walk in love toward them. Don't get me wrong. Don't go home now and tell your husband I said divorce the rat. I didn't say that. Amen? I'm talking about me. Amen? My Bible says that Barbara should submit to me as in the Lord. That means as long as I'm submitting to the Lord, she should submit to me. But if I'm not submitting to the Lord through His Word, she doesn't have to submit to me. And in essence, all she's doing by submitting to me is submitting to the Word. If I submit to the Word and she submits to the Word, she's submitting to me and I'm submitting to her. Amen? That's the kind of submission God's talking about. We're to submit to His spiritual leaders. We're to submit to one another in love. We're to submit to one another in marriage. Oh, hallelujah. You got that, didn't you? Obey. Obey or submit them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that I'm going to spend eternity based upon how accurately and precisely I taught you and required you to obey it? Have you ever thought about that? That's how I'm going to spend my eternity. Based upon how I taught you and what I taught you and what I required of you. You ain't going to wreck my eternity. Hallelujah. What do you got right there? Hebrews, Bible, show me the Amplified Bible. In verse 17. I'm not going to wreck yours either. I'm making sure that when you stand before the beam of judgment seat of Christ, you get everything that's coming to you. Amen? Because you too are going to spend your eternity based upon how accurately you obeyed this book while you were here for your probationary period. You are on probation whether you realize it or not. I'm just trying to help you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather have praise the Lord, I'd rather have a daddy that disciplined me. I'm not talking abuse. I had an abusive father. I'd rather have one that loved me enough to discipline me than one that didn't love me and just let me do my own stinking thing. Run around with dirty, loaded diapers all day long and everybody's just repulsed by me because nobody ever taught me anything. I'm the daddy of this family. Where are we? We're at Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually, recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. as men who will have to render an account of their trust. See, God's trusting me with you. Do your part too. Let him do it with gladness and not with sighing and groaning. I've done some of that, baby. For that would not be profitable to you. Amen? So, hallelujah. We've looked at some submission. We've looked at some authority scriptures here today. Amen. I've told you that Moses and Joshua and Jesus and John and Paul and all great men and women of God, whether it be Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Lester Summerall, Mac Hammond, whoever it is you love and enjoy their ministry, if they're stepping out and being used of God in any way, it's because they're submissive. Because they submit to the authority of God's Word in God's leadership. Amen. Now, this woman who came to me, if you would go real quick, this is the last verse I'll have you turn to, Jeremiah chapter 3, because this will help you. We'll close with this. Amen. This woman came to me. This is how I helped her. Amen. I can help you with this too. Amen. If you see the need to lay down your rebellious life here today, to lay down your prideful life today, and pick up your authoritative life, this will help you. Jeremiah chapter 3 in the Bible. Amen. There's people in this room who prayed for a number of years for God to send them a pastor after God's own heart. People in this room have been praying that way. And you know that I'm that man? And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm that man? See, I know that I know. I didn't come for a paycheck. I didn't come for material benefit. I came here out of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm that man. And Paul said, I magnify my office. I esteem my office highly, and I require that other people do it too. And I'm telling you that I've been put in position here again to require people respect me and esteem my office highly, and they're going just like a drop beehive after me now. Just don't listen to it. Amen? Just turn away from it. Tell them to call the pastor. Just call the pastor. You ain't getting me in trouble. Amen? Howling is more than one person. Okay? You just tell them, call the pastor. Have you called the pastor? Call the pastor. Call the pastor. I can't listen to this. Amen? And then I asked you on Wednesday night, you're at Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to close with this. And then I asked you, if you would dare, you don't have to. I can't make you do it. You're a moral free agent. You come and tell me if they called you. Come and tell me if they call you. And I'll deal with them. Amen? If you'd rather not, that's between you and the Lord. That's a matter for your own conscience. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just saying, you know, if they're harassing you, they call you, they're bugging you, they're trying to turn you against me, and they won't leave you alone, let me handle it. Don't be afraid to put it right off on me. Amen? I'll take the responsibility to deal with it. Where are we? Wouldn't it be good if I went there? We can stand up and read this if you like. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today. We're talking about obedience or rebellion, however you want to look at it. Amen? Hallelujah. If you give your word to do something, you really should do it. Amen? I've had folks come to me after last week too and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I gave you my word to do something, I didn't do it. So you've done a good thing coming back and telling me so here today. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to run a tight ship around here. Amen? That's okay, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of church you want to go to? Jeremiah chapter 3. Hallelujah. I'm not going to leave you lounging beside the septic tank, believing you're at the beach. Hallelujah. Look at right here. God speaking to Israel. To the northern kingdoms. That's where they're up north. Only in verse 13... Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That's what that lady did. She actually walked up to me and she said, I'm the biggest rebel you've ever known. I rebel against everything and everybody. Can you help me? Hallelujah. You remember? Norman, Oklahoma. Hallelujah. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Number one, she acknowledged her iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. That's a reference to idolatry. We don't have time to teach on that now. And you have not obeyed my voice. So, acknowledge your iniquity if you get rebellion in your heart. Turn, O backsliding children! Repent, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you. See, God's saying, I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. Repent, and I'll keep working with you. For I'm married unto you. I'll take you one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. Isn't that where you want to be? Amen. Don't you want to be up on God's mountain where the power is, Zion? Well, rebellion is not the way to do it. Amen. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I believe that's what God has done here today. He's given you a pastor who's after his own heart to feed you with knowledge. And I'm just impressed to come in here today and encourage you to be like David's mighty men and don't break rank and run. Just because some other foolish people have come under conviction supernaturally by the revelation gifts of God, and now they want to make the church pay for it. Don't listen to them. Don't break rank and run. Hold steady physically. Hold steady emotionally. Hold steady spiritually. Amen. And don't be of double heart. Let's just be single-minded to keep Jesus as Lord of the gathering and Pastor John the pastor. Amen. Let's worship Him. Just worship Him for His good. Say, Father, thanks for the heads up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're just going to stay unified in this place. Don't let strife enter in. Don't let strife enter in. Don't let it enter in. Not now. Not now. Not now. We don't want to have to go back and pay for the same territory all over again. Amen. Don't let strife enter in. Lift your hands and just worship God for His goodness. Amen.